So have you ever been driving too long, too late at night on a highway where the swish, swish of cars and trucks becomes hypnotic? The lights flickering on and off with the dark starts to make you feel a little dreamy. Maybe your mind wanders, and for a second, you're not sure if you are awake or asleep. It's getting harder and harder to stay awake, eyes open and focused, when suddenly a deer enters your peripheral view, or a truck speeds by and honks as they pass you. What happens then? Yes, you do. You are startled. You know you are fully awake in that moment. Your heart pounds and your mind is clear. You could say, "Thanks for keeping me alive, heart-stopping fear." In this case, it was the shock and the sudden stress that may have led to your very survival. So when I think about keeping my balance, whether physically or spiritually, I know that stress has some part to play in the mix. Real balance is dynamic, moving, and it takes exertion. A state of stillness may occur for brief moments, but even in that stillness, we are engaged, as Maxine just described. It takes muscle and focus. A state of continual calm may not be balanced, it may just be boring. Research on the meaning of balance and stress is as old as the Tao Te Ching, the source of the Qigong practice, and as recent as scientific research in psychology and physiology of stress. Taoists believe that the energy of the universe can be summed up in those two words, yin and yang. They are opposite forces, different kinds of energy. One shapes the other, and neither exists without the other. They are everywhere and in everything. In beings as tiny as an ant to the immensity of the universe, we find the workings of these opposing and complementary energies. And by altering those energies, you can shift them to your advantage, or at least strike a new balance that can help to ease the stress. Yin and yang are two sides of one. They exist alongside one another and interdependently. And Taoists have an abundance of metaphors to describe them. They say that the earth is yin and the sun is yang. Female is yin and male is yang. Sadness is yin while joy is yang. And managing the yin and yang within ourselves is a practice. For instance, imagine that you're in a heated argument. In most cases, it's natural to become agitated when the other party is beginning to argue with you. That heated argumentative energy is yang. When we respond in like with more agitation, we increase the yang, and the whole situation can get overheated or off balance. Taoists suggest that we do something to avert that kind of imbalance. Instead of rebuttal and further argument, they say we should stay silent and see what happens. This introduces yin energy and alters the field of energy. It's like what Lao Tzu depicts in the Tao Te Ching. He says, Tao engenders one engenders two engenders three engenders all things, and all things carry the yin while embracing the yang. Neutralizing energy brings them into harmony. Now, I have to admit, I really like a good argument. But when I'm done with it, and see no resolution in sight, silence is a viable option. I like the idea that at least it can change the energy in the room, and that might change the conversation. This kind of balancing act, one in which conflict naturally exists, seems to be the true point of balance. There are always at least two or more competing interests: our need to save the world and to savor it, our need for quiet and meaningful noise, our need for rest and our need for activity, our need for fullness and for space in our lives. It's always a competition of a most critical sort. I love this reading by Richard Gilbert, To Savor the World or Save It, it's called. I rise in the morning torn between the desire to save the world or savor it, to serve life or to enjoy it, to savor the sweet taste of my own joy or to share the bitter cup of my neighbor, to celebrate life with exuberant step or to struggle for the life of the heavy laden. What am I to do when the guilt at my bounty clouds the sky of my vision, when the glow which lights my everyday illumines the hurting world around me? To savor the world or to save it. God of justice, if there be such, take from me the burden of my question. Let me praise my plenitude without limit. Let me cast from my eyes all troubled folk. No, you will not let me be. You will not stop my ears to the cries of the heart and the hungry. You will not close my eyes to the sight of the afflicted. What is that you say? To save, one must serve, and to savor, one must save. The one will not stand without the other. Forgive me in my preoccupation with myself, in my concern for my own life. I had forgotten. That's it. One will not stand without the other. That's the balancing act. The yin and yang of effort and rest, of fullness and emptiness, of savoring the intrinsic beauty of this life and being in service to it, in service to the beauty and dignity of all life. One will not stand without the other. In these very stressful days, when I know I can see too much troubling news unfolding every single day, I can forget to see the beauty and goodness also evident around me. I need to be reminded by my stress that there is more meaning to be found in the tension between the two. Somehow I have to bring myself to that place where I can believe that stress is actually good for me. It wakes me up, clears my head, and makes sure I am focused on the road again. If this is so, why does opening up the newspaper feel like a tip over to the dark side every day? I get caught up in the disasters, and they are real, as I believe I should as a responsible citizen in these times. That attention-grabbing horror show has the power to shape my reality. The very shape of my resistance is created by a way of being that I know is wrong and hurtful, and I resent the intrusion. But this is the day we have been given. The sages tell us to rejoice and be glad in it. By meeting the challenge to balance the yin and yang in the things we do or do not do, the more effective we will be. Lao Tzu describes the challenge this way. The sage who is forthright but not hurting, sharp but not wounding, candid but not being crude, shining but not dazzling. Being this balance takes intention, movement, and an awful lot of acceptance of the things we cannot change or control at the moment. To me, this is stress encouraging me toward health and toward engagement. It helps me prioritize all those competing interests. So let's fast forward and look at some of the current science about stress. Liz Dean recommended this TED Talk, and I love it. I'm going to share the link this week in the eBlast so you can see the whole thing. Health psychologist Kelly McGonigal changed her whole approach to stress because of a study that tracked 30,000 adults in the United States for 8 years. It started by asking people, how much stress have you experienced in this year? They also asked, do you believe that stress is harmful for your health? And then they used public death records to find out who died. People who experienced a lot of stress in the previous year had a 43% increased risk of dying. But that was only true for the people who also believed that stress was harmful to their health. People who experienced a lot of stress but did not view it as harmful were no more likely to die. In fact, they had the lowest risk of dying of anyone in the study, including people who had relatively little stress. The researchers estimated that over the 8 years they were tracking deaths, 182,000 Americans died prematurely, not from stress, and here's the thing, but from the belief that stress is bad for you. So McGonigal wonders, can changing how you think about stress make you healthier? The science says yes. When you change your mind about stress, about the meaning of stress, you can change your body's response to it. The response that she is referring to is actually physical. A typical stress response is that your heart rate goes up, your blood vessels constrict, making less room for blood to flow. And this is one of the reasons that chronic stress is sometimes associated with heart disease. It's not healthy to be in that state all of the time. But in the study, when participants viewed their stress response as helpful, their blood vessels stayed more relaxed and open, allowing blood to flow. Your cardiovascular system looks more like what happens in moments of joy and courage. So in times of stress, when your heart starts pumping, think about it as, this is my body rising to the challenge. When we view the stress in that way, our body believes us, and our stress response becomes healthier. One more bit of the science of stress includes the neurohormone oxytocin. This fluid fine-tunes your brain's social instincts. It primes you to do things that strengthen your close relationships. It makes you crave physical contact with friends and family and enhances empathy. It even makes you more willing to help and support the people that you care about. When oxytocin is released in the stress response, it is motivating you to seek support. Your biological stress response is nudging you to tell someone how you feel, instead of holding it in. Your stress response wants to make sure that you notice when someone else in your life is struggling so that you can be a support to one another. When life is difficult, your stress response wants you to be surrounded by people who care about you, which is why many of us come here on Sunday morning, right? The mechanism of human connection releases this hormone, oxytocin. Your stress response becomes healthier and you actually recover faster, creating stress resilience. To sum up Kelly McGonigal's insight on the science of stress, she says this: how you think and how you act can transform your experience of stress. When you choose to view your stress response as helpful, you create the biology of courage. And when you choose to connect with others under stress, you create resilience. Stress gives us access to our hearts, the compassionate heart that finds joy and meaning in connecting with others, and yes, that pounding physical heart, working so hard to give you strength and energy. You're actually making a pretty profound statement. You're saying that you can trust yourself to handle life's challenges. And you're remembering that you don't have to face them alone. One thing we know for certain is that chasing meaning is better for your health than trying to avoid discomfort. And so she says that really the best way to make decisions is to go after what it is that creates meaning in your life and then trust yourself to handle the stress that will certainly follow. So how do we handle the stress of life? Things that get thrown at us, work and financial difficulties, raising children and teens, or health and relationship crises, the shock and stress of death and grief. How do we take the stress of a toxic political environment that trashes our values? When our stress level is at a low simmer or full boil, how can we transform that lead of overwhelming stress into the gold of just enough to wake us up? Some days it's just juggling. As is so often the case, my life provides answers to my sermon question of the week. I knew it was going to be a tight week. I had lots to do on my list, helping families through their fresh grief, a long list of counseling appointments, and the usual rounds of meetings and social justice events, a Saturday morning retreat, and a day with my grandson Charlie thrown in for good measure. I even got the sermon done early. That never happens. And then Wednesday morning, my brother texted to let me know that my 94-year-old mother was in the hospital. I make plans, God laughs. Maxine sent this just as I was starting to drop some of those carefully balanced balls. A reminder from Native Wisdom by Angeles Arian. It says, to bring the blessing way into our lives, we must do three things each day. Pray or meditate, give gratitude, and take life-affirming action. Just three things. Forget about the 20 other things that were on my to-do list. What if that was the best list to do ever? No matter how stress-filled and impossible life seems right now, these three things can happen in under a minute. Simply pray or meditate. Breathe, pause, just close your eyes and take in that wonderful breath and let it out again and don't stop. And then think of someone or something you are grateful for and let them know it. And then, only then, take meaningful, life-affirming action. There is something in that yin-yang symbol. There are so many different pretty ones on the internet, I couldn't decide. But I am struck by the visual positive and negative space the black and white pattern creates. Each half is shaped by the other and has at its heart a piece of the other. There they create one whole, round and ever-turning, flowing. The black and white could also represent stillness and action. Look at how they inform one another. They are both balanced and stressed, a dynamic whole. My wish for meaning today is that we see this beautiful whole from whatever corner of the universe you are standing in right now. May our actions be life-affirming, and may our breath and our gratitude steady us